Mitchell Henderson is back with us now. The attacks on Ukraine from Russia last night, and apparently going on tonight for a second time, we're not certain yet, but that's what I'm being told, were enormous in their length and breadth. I was also told, according to Hal Turner, that at least 25 of the huge Russian heavy bombers were used and were actually sent into Ukraine airspace to launch their cruise missiles. There were also hundreds, I read, I can't confirm it, of drones. I don't know if they were Iranian drones or Russian drones, whatever. Hundreds of drones and cruise missiles. They were also fired from submarines in the Black Sea. They were fired from apparently surface ships in the Black Sea. And they just did a hell of a lot of damage to the military-industrial complex in Ukraine, which is what they need to do. They need to do this routinely, continually, and constantly. There was also a note, I can't vet this and confirm it either, but the general in the Ukrainian army who was in charge of all state, we'll call it states, state territorial defense, he was a very high-ranking general, was assassinated, murdered, shot, killed near his home, I believe in Kiev. I have no confirmation on that, but that was another story, which would suggest that the Russians are telling Zelensky and his cohorts, you're not safe anywhere, pal. We want you gone, you're gone. And I think that's an obvious situation. One last thing. Let's see if I can remember what it was. Not at the moment, I can't. So we'll go to Mitchell Henderson. Mitch, welcome back. And getting hard news out of this, we had a story up all day today from Hal Turner. Thank you, Hal, who seems to have some pretty interesting sources. But a lot of damage was done. Two divisions. How many men in a division, approximately?
Well, 10. But let me make a statement on that, because I read all the news, and in one of them it said two divisions were wiped out. But then
correct.
In the other, it said further on, it said two divisions of air defense artillery were taken out.
That was the S-300, I think.
Right. But let me kind of clear something up here. Okay.
Good.
When they said divisions of ADA of these Patriot missiles, okay, what they're actually talking about is batteries. So they took out two batteries of Patriot missiles, and there's I think
Patriots or S-300s.
Oh, S-300s. I'm sorry, S-300s. And
they also took out the refill canisters. That means the replacement surface-to-air missiles that are ready to be loaded into the launchers. Okay.
Right. So these things, what they're actually talking about is batteries. There's eight per battery, okay? And they took out two batteries. So this is kind of confusing to people, because they'll sometimes call it a division or something like this, but the way it is typically, just think this. So a team is five people. 10 people is a squad, so two squads make up a section, that's 20 people. Two sections make up a platoon, that's 40 people. Four platoons make up a company, and that's 200 people. Now, a company is usually an infantry or something like that, but when you're talking about cavalry, it's called a troop. And when you talk about artillery, it's a battery. So a battery is about 200 men. So they took out these 16 launchers and their resupply missiles and their radar and all that. There was a total of about 400 people operating it.
It is also suggested that Ukraine has very little competent air defense left at this point. Obviously main players in their whole arsenal. So the Russians know what they know what virtually every square inch of that country has or has not in terms of military potential. So they know what they're doing.
Oh, yes. So I'm gonna kind of go over the tactics and strategy and a little history here so people can kind of understand what's going on over there. And what messes up people understanding what's going on over there is listening to any Western media whatsoever or listening to the United States government or any NATO
Absolutely.
Government.
Absolutely.
They're all lying badly. Their lies are bad lies. They're not even good, well-crafted lies. They're very sloppy, easy to see through lies.
Right.
So anyways, looking at Ukrainian troop dispositions, we can tell what their strategic plans are. There are two Marine brigades north of Odessa, one infantry brigade in Odessa, but nothing south of Odessa. This reflects the NATO plan for flooding NATO troops into western Ukraine to save a rump Ukrainian state to forever be a destabilizing influence on Russia. That's what the United States wants. That's what NATO wants. Okay, they want to destabilize Russia forever. Mm-hmm. NATO troops from Constanta in Romania will flood in south of Odessa as soon as Russia moves west. There are two infantry brigades around Mykolaiv and amassing of forces on the Kherson front. The Ukrainians are attacking across the Dnieper River in order to break up any Russian offensive that would sweep west from Kherson to take Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces and cut Ukraine off from the Black Sea. So this is a major, goal of theirs.
Tactically speaking, doesn't that have to happen, Mitch? Don't the Russians need to cut Ukraine off from the Black? They've got to have Odessa, I would think.
No, they have to. They have to. It's like they see the writing on the wall, in this thing. So the Ukrainian forces have massed on the Zaporizhzhia front in order to launch the great Ukrainian offensive to cut the Russian front in half and isolate Crimea. Mainland Russia. There's no way for this offensive to succeed. You see, the Russians have been digging in with three very solid defensive lines, one behind the other. However, the Ukrainians' main effort is no longer the offensive, but trying to break up Russia's offensive from Kherson to Odessa. That's their main thing they're worried about now. They don't want to lose their Black Sea access.
Let me talk before you jump east. All right, Odessa, for those of you in your mind's eye, imagine a map of Ukraine approximately. Odessa is in the south on the Black Sea. That's the big city in the south. It's the big prize down there. Kharkov is in the upper east, and Kiev is to the center, west of Kharkov, so to speak. So Odessa's in the bottom. If Odessa were to fall, that cuts Ukraine off from international shipping, international trade, and the Russians have to have that. They'll eventually someday, perhaps if there's anything left of Ukraine, they'll just run it as a commercial port and charge the Ukrainians for shipping things in and out. But they have to have it. How tough is it going to be to take Odessa? How much pro-Russian sentiment do your sources suggest, if they have, exists in Odessa? Do you know?
Well, there's quite a bit of Russians there. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's significant. Okay, and of course they're being abused and stuff, so they're not going to be pro-Ukrainian. That's for sure.
Right.
But
there's
more to this that it's in Moldova along the Dniester River. You have this thing called Transdniester, which is an area along the river where Russians live, and the Russians have troops there. They've occupied it since 1992, whatever. So by going to Odessa, they're also linking up with the Russians in Transnistria. They're also getting access to all the ammunition and weapons they have stockpiled there.
Got it.
Which is another reason why the Ukrainians are so adamant on keeping them from going there. But there's not much that they can do. Keep in mind that fighting a defense is cheaper than fighting an offensive. But the only way you can win in war is by the offensive. You cannot win solely on the defense. Okay, I mean, go back to World War II. Great Britain, it was on the defense for a long time, the Battle of Britain and all that, but Britain was never going to end the war until they went on the offensive, which they did in 1943, 1944. So no matter what, in order to win any war, you have to go on the offensive. The problem with Ukraine is they have trained 9 brigades, which is about 2 divisions. They've trained 9 brigades to do this offensive. That's 2 divisions hitting it up against Russian dug-in positions. There's no way that they can win. They're not going to the Bakhmut kill box. The Ukrainians now know that once Russia overcomes the quite substantial military fortifications on the Bakhmut-Avdiivka-Soledar axis, that Russia will be free to sweep west to the Dnieper River. Keep this in mind, that there's no point in them doing that now. Okay, it's still too muddy. It's actually turned into a wet spring, so it's just not a good time to go. And as long as they sit there, they're destroying the Ukrainian army just by sitting there. So why go on the offensive prematurely? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another way for Russia to do this would be to attack north from Zaporizhzhia and cut off all supplies going east. So the Ukrainian forces massed for the counteroffensive south to the Black Sea to split Russian forces is actually, in effect, just disrupting Russia's forces from heading north and splitting the Ukrainian forces.
Question. The so-called counterattack, since we know the Russians, as I said earlier, understand virtually every square inch of what's on the land. There's no big secrets there. They know where these men are concentrated. Could they not go in and really wipe out a lot of them before there was even a chance? Or do they want the counteroffensive to be launched, however shitty it is, excuse me, and then just annihilate it? What do they want to do?
Do they want the PR for a wipeout?
Go.
Yeah, they want to. They would want to go ahead and have it attack and then just rout it, destroy
it, annihilate it.
That would bring down morale in Ukraine and stuff also. So that is something that they want to do. Okay, that they would want to do. But you got to keep in mind that the Russians are using strategy and tactics and sound military practice, whereas the Ukrainians are doing things for public relations reasons. Okay, Zelensky's asking for more and more guns and weapons and ammunition and stuff like that. Oh, okay,
he has to make this
offensive go, or the Europeans and Americans will start backing off on equipment. This is what NATO and America has told Zelensky. You make this counteroffensive, or we're calling everything off. Okay, so Zelensky had to promise to make this by May 15th. He put down the solid date of May 15th that he would launch the counteroffensive, the great counteroffensive, at that time. But he doesn't have artillery. He has got nothing. He's got no air power to give air support to these attacking troops. They're just going to be massacred. And it is us who is sending these men to their deaths for political optics is why they're going to die, okay? They're not going to die for any good reason at all except for political optics, not another reason. The Russians are not interested in political optics, okay? They put sound military strategy before they would ever put any kind of political optics, okay? So, but see, Russia is not begging from arms from other countries, so they can play their own game. They don't need to, you know, worry about political optics. So
I honestly think that there is an argument to be made that the Zelensky government, full of Zionist Jews, it's a fact. I'm not making it up. Is more than happy.
Our government is full of Zionist Jews also.
It is a Bolshevik regime. Now, we've got two Bolshevik regimes working together. I think, frankly, that Zelensky and his cadre are very happy that maybe 400,000 Christian white Caucasians are now dead in the military and millions are wounded, because they will be less likely to rise up and throw Zelensky out and his henchmen. They're running that country into hell on earth is what they're doing. They're destroying it.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so anyways, Ukraine has lost the initiative, and they're unlikely to ever reestablish it. Russia has the initiative, and they'll be keeping the initiative. That means they're the ones who dictate the broad sweep of the war.
Absolutely.
Yeah. the so-called military leaks said that Ukraine wanted to make a massive attack on Moscow on February 24th of this year. Right. But the U.S. and NATO said no because it could start World War III. So what has the Western media not told us? Isn't Russia and Ukraine already at war? No, they are not at war. Russia has not declared war on Ukraine. They have only declared a special military operation to protect ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine under the American policy of R2P, or the right to protect, which is the policy that the U.S. uses to justify illegal invasions of other nations without U.N. approval. Syria, Libya, Serbia, I mean, it goes back a long time. So this was our excuse for the illegal invasion of Serbia in 1999 and the American occupation of Kosovo, which was not sanctioned by the U.N. and is both illegal and a war crime under international law. But, of course, we don't belong to any international courts, so we cannot be held accountable. If Russia did declare war on Ukraine, Russia could declare martial law at home, open up wartime conscription, and focus big time on crushing its enemies. Right now, they can only conscript their annual draft. The fall mobilization was not a draft, but a mobilizing of reservists. Who they mobilized were already trained and experienced troops. Yeah. Okay, Ukraine has not declared war on Russia either. The Ukrainian Congress has merely labeled Russia a terrorist state that is terrorizing Ukraine. When Russia said it was a red line to send long-range weapons or aircraft to Ukraine, they were alluding to exactly this. And this is what they don't want to tell the American public, that if Ukraine actually attacks Russian soil in any major way, Russia would then declare war on Ukraine. If Ukraine had launched their attack on Moscow February 24th like they wanted to, Russia would declare war on Ukraine. If Ukraine declares war on Russia, Russia would declare war on Ukraine also. They seem to already be at war, so what does a declaration of war matter? Mm-hmm. Well, the special military operation has limited goals, which does not include the taking away of Ukrainian independence. It was intended to start a final peace settlement over the Donbass. When Moscow declares war on Ukraine, which a major Ukrainian operation on Russian territory would provoke, the objectives change. If Russia declares war on Ukraine, the objective would become the total destruction of the Ukrainian state and its incorporation into Russia. They would immediately kill Zelensky and utterly destroy the armed forces of Ukraine. That all becomes legal with a declaration of war. At some point, Russia will declare war. That is the next thing coming in the conflict. Zelensky is starting to put out feelers with China because the Chinese offer a different scenario than NATO does. Even the West, even in the West, no one realistically expects Ukraine to win anything and are starting to create disengagement narratives. Just before we give up on Ukraine, we will say that what an evil man Zelensky was. The U.S. government already knows he is, our government has reported that Zelensky stole $400 million and put it into his personal bank account from the aid we've been sending him.
That's a conservative figure, I think.
Because anybody laundering money is going to, what you see is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
So you say right, NATO wants you, go ahead.
Russia, Putin, Medvedev, Shoigu have laid down, Lavrov, a lot of red lines, which we have mocked every single time. The latest being, one of the latest, the sending of DU weapons from the UK to the Ukraine army, which is reportedly now using them against Russian troops and armor in the hottest spots. Now, that's another red line crossed. DU is polluting the country. It's going to ruin the country. And the Russians said, if you use DU, we will begin to use tactical nukes immediately. Are they going to? Or are they going to just sit back and let another red line be crossed and mocked? When do you think this is going to stop?
Well, since they have the initiative on when to nuke, they can afford to be patient, and they can afford to, you know, they want to look like the good guys, like their hand was forced. This is a big decision to nuke the West out of existence.
They can put out some news stories, Mitch, through RC, yep. or RT. They can go out with Geiger counters. They can show the DU rounds, what they've done, how they've been used. They can make the case that these are nuclear weapons. They can put this out to the world, and then they can use their tactical nukes to equalize the playing field. And how much is Ukraine going to want to take before they quit using DU weapons? Sometime the Russians are going to have to make this red line thing stick. That's what I'm saying. I don't know when,
okay.
but so far
well,
they're
I'm
not.
Gonna get, I'm going to get into that.
Good.
You see, NATO wants Ukraine to keep doing what it's doing, although that will probably mean the end of Ukraine. China offers Ukraine a way out so that they can still exist once the war is over. China is also telling Ukraine that when Ukraine loses, NATO will just walk away and leave them on their own. China will, however, make sure Ukraine can be rebuilt better than they were even before the war. That's what they're promising. Uh-huh. You see, while the U.S. and NATO demand obedience and want to rule the world, China and Russia want peace and to do business with the world. Leaving their
That's
cultures
true.
And politics alone and respecting both other nations' cultures and their sovereignty.
Right.
The U.S. and NATO take peace from the world, and the BRICS bring peace to the world.
Uh-huh.
Every peace move in the past 2 years has been a BRICS peace move.
Right.
Okay. Many sources have explained what Russia has been doing for the past year. Let me go back to 1992. The Soviet Union fell, and the Soviet army was eviscerated. That army had to deal with Chechnya in 1994 when the United States launched a terrorist war in Chechnya in order to destabilize Russia. The Chechens got their de facto state. After 1994, Russia decided to modernize their army like the USA and NATO under the American puppet Yeltsin.
Uh-huh.
And Putin took over under Yeltsin in 1999. The United States launched another war in Chechnya. This time, the modernized Russian army was able to crush the Chechen terrorists in conventional combat. The modernized NATO-like trained Russian army also did okay in 2014, taking Crimea. However, during the invasion of Ukraine in 2022, Russia was not at all pleased with the military. Over the past year, the Russians have reorganized their organization, chain of command, combined arms training enhancement, and upgraded their troop training, all specifically dumping the so-called modernization. There's too much touchy-feeling, emotional stuff in modern military training. You know, there's a lot of political correctness and wokeness in that training.
Not in the Russian military.
Well, they were following our pattern, and I think they got over that now. They saw that the Western military training and modernization was not actually efficient in battle. In other words, they learned from experience. The Russian army is both adaptable and flexible. They had organized around the brigade as the basic tactical maneuver force, just like the West. But now they see the combat battalion as the main tactical fighting force. There is better command and control. Let me explain the difference in the thinking. In the U.S., the old pedophile Biden says that the Green New Deal is the most important thing for Americans. So he wants a green military. He wants electrical tanks. And he wants all military vehicles to be electric.
I can't.
So a single EMP blast can destroy all of our military vehicles? Is that really a good idea? Or is it just go to demonstrate how moronic pedophiles think? And I'm talking about Joe Biden, of course.
Hey, well, what about California now talking about outlawing all railroad locomotives that are diesel-powered? California. California. That's how smart they are.
They're insane. Wokeness is suicidal in its
It is suicidal.
Nature.
That's going to be the end of it. Of course.
Yeah. So let me go over triggers for nuclear war. Okay. These are updated Russian red lines for nuclear war.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
One, if Poland officially unites with Western Ukraine and erases the border between Ukraine and Poland, Poland is extremely hostile to Russia, and Russia does not want them on their border any more than they have to. A union of Ukraine and Poland would create more, not less, existential threats to Russia. That would also include Polish troops coming over the border into Ukraine. And the stupid thinking is that, oh, now that Western Ukraine is a part of Poland, an attack on Western Ukraine would be an attack on NATO. Well, that's not quite how it works, but that's what the Polish are thinking. The Lithuanians, Estonians, and Latvians are all pushing for this, and this brings NATO into the war. That would swiftly be met with a tactical nuke, and not tactical nuke. We have to get that out of our head. It's America that says that Russia is going to use tactical nukes in Ukraine. Why? There's no reason at all for them to use tactical nukes in Ukraine. If they're going to nuke, mark my words, if they're going to unleash nuclear weapons, when they push the button at that instant, there will be a massive and total attack on NATO and the United States. Nukes will be incoming, thousands of them. It is not going to be some stupid tactical nuke in Ukraine like the Biden administration keeps saying. Even if Russia says, we will nuke the United States, as soon as they say it, the United States turns around and says, if Russia releases a nuke in Ukraine, that will be a game changer. Okay? Well, Russia's not even saying that. Okay? So, two, if Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and Poland actually place a blockade on Russia's Kaliningrad enclave between Poland and Lithuania, blockades are an act of war. If Russia has to go to war with NATO, they will finish it within the hour. Three, NATO troops entering Western Ukraine to prevent Russian movement. Russian troops will engage them, and it could escalate to nuclear war. Once again, any situation that brings NATO into Ukraine will result in war, so the Russians will finish it fast. Four, any Ukrainian attack deep in Russia, like assassinating Putin or a large attack on Moscow, this will lead Russia to declare war on Ukraine. Then Russia will go total war in Ukraine. This will cause NATO to panic and overreact and will lead to a war with NATO. A war with NATO means a nuclear war. It always means a nuclear war. If we think we can just have a conventional war with them, that they will let us somehow win, that is just delusional. That's not going to happen. Okay. Russia will have to shoot first in a nuclear war because the one who launches first will have the better chance of winning. It's just how it is, okay? So I want to talk about the dangers of American desperation. There are signs of American desperation in foreign policy towards Russia. NATO is supplying Ukraine with what the woke traditionally labeled politically incorrect weapon systems. For example, depleted uranium rods, which the woke so condemned for the radioactive and heavy metal poisoning that it causes. NATO supplies Ukraine with cluster bombs, a longtime boogeyman for the woke and made illegal in 123 nations by the Oslo Convention on Cluster Munitions. They tend to kill too many innocent civilians and kill long after the battle or war is over. NATO is also supplying landmines to Ukraine against the Ottawa Convention on the prohibition on the use, stockpiling, production, and transfer of anti-personnel mines. Who is it that's breaking the international rules-based order? Remember saving the planet? The Biden regime released enough natural gas into the atmosphere to cover the entire land area of the United States in 12 feet of natural gas with the terrorist attack on the Nord Stream pipeline. These are all acts of desperation that go against the woke morality of the Biden regime and the Green New Deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are all things that the woke have always condemned, these things, but now they're shipping them to Ukraine. Okay. Ostensibly because they're just white people there. So who cares?
Right. You know? That's right. Who cares?
The starting of a war in Sudan, long a woke target for regime change, going back to 2001, per General Wesley Clark, the U.S. is blaming the Wagner Group. Why would the Wagner Group overthrow a government that is friendly to Russia? Why would the United States want to overthrow a government that wants to join the BRICS? Well, they very much would. So all the death and suffering you're seeing in Sudan, we're doing that. The CIA, the State Department, we're doing it. The United States went in and took their embassy staff on and said, oh, just like Blinken always says, oh, we're working on getting the other people out. Well, the rest of the world sent airplane after airplane. We said, we can't do it. It's too dangerous. We can't do it. Well, all these other countries, Turkey, Japan, China, Every country in the world sent big aircrafts and military and pulled out thousands of their citizens and stuff. And were kind enough to take some Americans with them.
They probably told the Sudanese, if you mess with our planes, you're going to be toast. Don't mess with the planes. That's probably what they told them. But we don't have this country is under control of a Bolshevik regime headed by Barry Sotoro, Obama, and Biden, and Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett and other people we don't even want to mention here. But they are running the show. No respect. None. They're taking this country down, Mitch, so fast.
Yes,
it's not
they're satanic.
So fast.
They're just satanic. They're absolutely satanic. There's nothing good in these people. So I just want to say, too, that after all these other countries went in and got their people out, the United States begrudgingly sent some military in, and out of our 30,000 American citizens there, we took a few hundred people out just to show that we care, you know. But the hell with everybody else, right?
So, how many are still behind in Afghanistan? I forget how many we left behind.
Thousands. We've done nothing to get any of those people out. Not nothing to get
anyone
like out.
Vietnam again, huh?
Yeah. It's even like when Blinken went to New Delhi for the G20, he said, "Oh, I talked to Lavrov, and I brought up Paul Whelan being, getting Paul Whelan released and stuff." And Lavrov, they asked Lavrov, and he said, "No, Blinken never asked me anything about Whelan." And you know, because when they brought Brittany Griner over, the State Department said, "Oh, we're going to do everything we can to get Paul Whelan back." Well, they've done exactly zero, nothing to get him back. Okay, these people just—they're all lies all the time. Okay,
yeah.
So, why are U.S. troops murdering Syrian civilians in northeast Syria in order to justify having U.S. troops there by blaming ISIS for the attack? Because there is peace breaking out in the Middle East precisely because of our absence, okay? The best thing that's happened to the Middle East is getting us out of there, okay? In order to disrupt that peace process, the U.S. Department of State and the CIA are intensely involved with rigging the presidential election in Turkey to get a pro-European, pro-American puppet candidate elected to stifle Turkish national ambitions towards independence from the West, okay? So you're going to see, this is going to be a major thing. You're going to see Erdogan is going to lose his seat. The United States is pulling out all the stops to affect that election. Okay, they want their man in, and there's no amount of money they won't spend to make that happen.
Right.
So that's going on now. Okay, the CIA started talking about its UFO space alien invasion world unification plan again, likely, and you can see they're leaking out little pieces of this. They're trying to keep it in people's minds. This is a last-ditch effort for them to at least retain their control over the American slaves. Okay. So just realize this, people. Okay, if an alien civilization can make it here to Earth from over 4 light years away, okay, the United States military and the United States government can't do anything against them. We're merciless to them. The technology required just to get here.
Nothing compared
to what they'll be able to do once they get here.
No. They can make this planet into a French fry if they want to.
Yeah, and listen, the United States government is not going to protect you. They're not going to help you. They're not going to unify anybody if it's a real space invasion.
Right.
If it's their space invasion, of course they can affect the outcome.
You bet.
It's them, right?
Yeah.
So I have been alerted that the United States CIA is planning... And this gets to your thing. They're planning to set off a nuke in Ukraine that they can use as an excuse to attack Russia with conventional weapons. If Ukraine's great counteroffensive fails, the Biden regime plans on setting a nuclear weapon off in Ukraine to allow an American response. They will send NATO troops into western Ukraine, set up a NATO no-fly zone in western Ukraine, and sink the Russian Black Sea fleet and attack bases in the Russian interior. Okay, this is Now, how ready are they to do this? Are they preparing us for this? Well, all the talk all along, these plans are old plans, and all the talk all along, Russia says, well, we're going to nuke the UK, we're going to nuke the USA, and every American response has been, if they nuke Ukraine, they keep redirecting us here to, like, Russians are going to set off a nuke in Ukraine. This is a black flag operation meant to justify us going in. Okay, but it's ridiculous. In my military career, I was always concerned with nuclear war strategy and tactics. I was always a nuclear, biological, and chemical non-commissioned officer, and then an NBC officer. Let me assure you that the only nation that has said Russia will use a tactical nuke in Ukraine is the USA. Russia has never
setting up their false flag. We've talked about this briefly in the past. False flag nuke, it's a gimme. It's an easy one. Yeah, I agree.
I can assure you that if Russia uses nukes, its first nukes will hit in NATO, not in Ukraine. What I'm saying is that if a nuke goes off in Ukraine, it will be an American nuke set off for black propaganda purposes. It would immediately and without hesitation be followed immediately by a full and unrestricted nuclear attack on NATO by Russia. So let me repeat this. If the United States sets off a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, at that moment, as soon as that weapon goes off, Russia's going to know who did it and why, and they're going to launch on us at that second. They're not going to hesitate for a moment longer. Nobody's used a nuke since 1945. If we use one in Ukraine, they're going to obliterate us, okay? I mean, listen, these people are delusional. The people who are leading us are delusional. They think we can have green tanks and green APCs that run on electricity, okay? They are insanely stupid. It's just incomprehensible how stupid they are. Are they stupid enough to set off a nuke in Ukraine to try to make Russia look bad? They are stupid enough to do that, okay? So Russia knows we are getting desperate, and they are worried about what our unrestrained and unstable leadership will do in that desperation, destroy humanity. So Putin did make a speech on this, okay? Now, this speech preceded the attack you saw yesterday, okay? So keep in mind, this is a speech, and then the attack happened, okay?
Right.
He said, today we hear from the West that they want to defeat us on the battlefield. Well, what can I say? Try it. We have heard that the West wants to fight us until the last Ukrainians. This is a tragedy for the Ukrainian people, but does seem to be the case. Everybody should understand that, by and large, we have not yet commenced anything serious. Let me say that again. Everybody should understand that, by and large, we have not yet commenced anything serious. At the same time, we are not refusing peace negotiations either. However, those who are refusing to negotiate should know that the longer they wait, the more difficult it will be for them to negotiate with us.
Right.
Okay, this statement that he made just a few days ago is, it might as well be an ultimatum. He's laying it out, okay? It's like, we've seen nothing yet, okay?
Right.
When you think about their capabilities and stuff, here's the whole problem. The whole problem is that you have the Western media just telling bold-faced lies, absurd exaggerations about Ukrainian capabilities and stuff. And it gives the impression, they keep trying to give the impression that Russia is weak, Russia is incapable. That if Russia starts this war, somebody's going to overthrow Putin. Okay. Well, I don't think so. That's not the case at all. You know, they're so lying to us about everything. America's blood is on our hands. We started this. We've now killed almost 500,000 Ukrainian men.
We did the whole thing.
What are we doing that for?
2014 and then on is all us, all of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. you know.
15,000 murdered civilians in the Donbass by Ukrainian snipers and military operations. Just horrible. They're still doing it. They're still shelling Donetsk.
Well,
they're still shelling all kinds of.
To yesterday's attack was to fire missiles, American missiles, mind you, American artillery rounds, into civilian areas in the Donbass to kill civilians, purposely to kill civilians.
Yep. They've been doing this, though.
Any military target at all.
It's their M.O. It's what they do. They kill civilians. They did.
Oh, yes.
They've always done it.
It's a killing machine. Let me tell you, these people are Satan. They're Satan. You know, and guess who's paying for Satan's activities? Well, we're paying for it. We're paying for Satan's activities in molesting, having our kids molested by public education, by I don't know, everything that we do. It's just pure evil. And this is not the America I know. This is not the America I grew up with. Okay.
No.
This is not the values that we had. We do not have a value of forcing people to be sodomites. I never had that value. I never had the value of, you know, today Joe Biden said that the problem is there has to be freedom of the press. This is coming from the man who has lorded over the American cancel culture, political correctness. And actually jailing people for their speech, okay? Jailing people, suing people for their speech. You know, it's like...
Hey, the country... Mitch, excuse me, but because the media is reality for most people, especially Generation Z, as in zero, that's their reality. And the media is all-powerful. It's omnipotent in this country. It runs the show. It creates reality for the masses. And here's Chelsea Clinton now stepping up saying that she is in favor of pornography for elementary school children. Chelsea Clinton.
See how
it's nonstop.
These people are.
Oh, they're depraved.
Yeah, it is nonstop. Listen, Americans need to realize this. Okay?
And Gen Z, one more thing. Hold on.
Yeah.
Gen Z... That is Gen Z's reality. They don't know what Mitch is talking about, what I'm talking about. They don't know what a moral culture was. They have no knowledge of it. It's foreign to them. And they're 26 years old and younger. That's it. 26 and under, that's Gen Z. That's our future. They have no future. They have nothing going.
I got to tell you, it's just as simple as this, okay? The Zionists push a situational ethic, okay, where we have to accept everyone. We have to tolerate everyone, okay?
Right.
They have even brought this into churches in America. I was raised a Lutheran. Now I see all these Lutheran pastors with the shawl on that's rainbow-colored and welcoming gays and all this
unreal.
Kind of stuff.
It's unreal.
Listen, this is not Christianity, people. This is not of God. This is of Satan. Satan does not want you. I mean, Satan does want you to tolerate and accept LGBT people. They want you to accept murdering babies. They want you
tranny
to accept
people.
All this filth.
Drag
they
queens.
Want you to,
all of it.
Yes, they want you to accept all that. This God doesn't want you to accept any of this. Okay, God doesn't want you to compromise with evil ever. Not on one point. Not on one point ever does He want you to compromise with evil. Evil is evil, people. It's not relative. Evil is evil. This sodomite country here, the whole sodomy thing and teaching our children sodomy, that is super evil because it's attacking little kids, okay?
Right.
I mean, it's a, listen, you know what says it all? We have an incestuous pedophile for president. You're going to tell me 81 million people voted for an incestuous pedophile to lead us? Are 81 million Americans pedophiles? Well, maybe they are. Because guess what? If you give your children over to pedophiles, you are a pedophile. You are complicit in what's happening to them. Okay? You're not standing innocent. Just because the government orders it, just because the government tells you something, doesn't make it true, does not make it correct, does not even make it moral in any way, shape, or form. Okay? People just need to start having enough of this. I mean, I can't believe that people will let their children, people will say, oh, if they come to take my guns, I'll fight to the end. But they can come and take your children and turn it into some sissy faggot, and that's perfectly okay. You're not going to defend your kids or defend your children's innocence. You won't do that, America. And you think you're going to do something when they come for your guns? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to hand those guns in, and you're going to obey. If you will obey over your children, you will obey over anything.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And let me tell you, there's no vote that is going to change any of this. Freedom, liberty is never, ever given by anybody. It always, always must be taken. Okay? This government is not going to give you your liberty or freedom. It's not going to give it back to you. If you can't take it, you're in slavery now. And this slavery is like the slow boiling frog, okay? They're cutting, if you just look, like all the businesses that are going out of business and stuff, everything closing, banks closing, they are bringing your standard of living down, down, down. And they're doing it incrementally so that before you know it, you're going to be dirt poor and you will be an actual slave to them. You will have to do what they say in order to eat and drink water. Okay?
Or buy groceries or spend your money. Anything,
yes.
Because
yes.
They'll have digital control of your life, cradle to grave, and Gen Z will continue to take a more active role, if they're active at all, in the majority of allegedly voting Americans. Gen Z, the people who have no knowledge of anything except cell phone and text and screen living. That's their reality. That's all they know. That's it.
It shapes their world and stuff, and when I was a little kid, they told me, oh, well, with just the radio, Hitler was able to take over all of Germany, and he was able to control all these people and launch a major war in Europe. And as growing up, I said, holy cow, now they have a television. That's even worse, okay? But look at us today. It's beyond that. It's cable. It's streaming. It's
everywhere these people go now. Yes. The screen, the reality of the screen, and screen reality is in their hand, at least in their hand. If not on a big wall, or in a restaurant, in a classroom, it doesn't matter. It's the reality. And since they control the media, they control reality. Most people do not think
yes.
of reality in any other terms than what they see on the screen. That's their reality. And that isn't reality.
Let me go back to the socialist, Italian socialist philosopher Antonio Gramsci in the 1920s, father of the concept of cultural Marxism. Okay, he said that we unthinkingly acquiesce to the culture that we are born into. Okay, I assure you that most Generation Z people are totally oblivious to any form of reality at all. Okay.
You bet.
So, this is...
It's on the screen, Mitch. It's all on the screen. It's in the video games. It's on the screen. It's in their classrooms. And now they're being perverted without pause. Porn in the elementary school classrooms. Good God. How can this be? It's happening. It's got traction, and it's not going to go away because the media is under control of Satan, and that's what they're running.
Oh, that's exactly right. And, I even think that anybody who would let their child go to a drag screen story hour needs to go to prison and have to register as a sex offender for the rest of their life and be charged with child abuse also.
And lose their children, of course. They're not fit parents.
Have to take their kids away.
No, the kid. Yeah. If children, and but you can't put
irresponsible.
You can't put children in the custody of a corrupt communist state, though. That's the other problem.
No, that's a problem. Well, did you see the Homeland Secretary lady came out last week, and she was a whistleblower and said that the greatest amount of child trafficking in the world. is being carried out by the government of the United States. They are sending little kids to pedophile.
And CPS, CPS is directly involved with this, all of it. Child Protection yes. Services, all of it. It's really a horror show.
Let me just say this, not to be sitting on the fence or anything, but if you take your child to a drag queen story hour, you're sending your child to hell, and you're going to follow them there.
I concur.
You will not be innocent for harming these little children. You know, I'm glad I grew up in the time I did, because you know what? I was able to have my innocence. I didn't have to deal with all that. Did not have gay teachers trying to groom me into being another LGBT person. Thank God I didn't have to deal with
that. You cannot ungroom a child who has been sexually impregnated with this filth. You can't do it. Once it's there, it's stuck. They can't unsee it. They can't undo it. It's got to be stopped, but how's it going to be stopped when it's growing like a weed everywhere?
They've destroyed these kids' lives.
It's really no greater sin can I imagine. Mitch, thank you very much.
No, I don't think there is. You're welcome.
No, I agree. I'll talk to you next week. You be well. All right.
Next Tuesday, right? Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.